Anybody want the mic?
I think she wants to read us.
Read it, Sue. Rejoice, daughter Zion. Shout, Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your judgment. He has turned away your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, don't fear, Zion. Don't let your hands fall. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you those worried about the appointed feasts. They have been a burden for her, a reproach. Watch what I'm about to do to all your oppressors at that time. I will deliver the lame. I will gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and fame throughout the earth. At that time, I will bring all of you back. At the time when I gather you, I will give you fame and praise among all the neighboring peoples when I restore your possessions, and you can see them, says the Lord.
Okay, so let's hold on those verses just for 1 minute. Prophet, this is one of the minor prophets, and prophets in general, if you've ever noticed in the Old Testament, were not very welcome in the country of Israel, Judah, any place else, because they tended to bring really bad news. It would start off something like this. Oh, Israel, that gets everybody's attention. You're all going to die. That's not a happy message. That is not one that you want to hear. Assyria is going to take you, Israel. Babylon is going to take you, Judah. So they would bring really bad news. But in this one, Zephaniah is bringing six verses of incredible joy and hope to the nation. And that same message can be given to us. Jay, would you back that up, please? The Lord has removed your judgment. He has turned away your enemy. So what he's talking about is he's going to set you free. It's deliverance. He is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He removed evil from us. All you have to do is embrace it. Part of what the message of redemption is all about. Next slide, please, Jay. He's a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm. He will rejoice over you with singing, meaning all of heaven is involved. They're singing over us. They weren't singing just over that time, which was about 400, 500 BC. It's also rejoicing over us at this time. Heaven is singing over us now. He's going to deliver the lame. He will gather the outcast. He will change their shame into praise and fame throughout the earth. Isn't that what he's doing with us right now? He's doing that with the Christian church. He did it with the old nation of Israel and Judah. He did it with the early Christian church. And he's doing that with us at this time. And this goes in line with 2 Chronicles 7:14. Which I just happen to have here in front of me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I've shared this one with you before. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Isn't that what God's doing with us right now? You turn away from the wicked, and you get this as a result. You get this incredible joy. You get this hope. There's going to be peace. There's going to be salvation. There is redemption. And there is that life everlasting. Now, let's go on to Luke. Go ahead, Jay. So, Sue, why don't you hand that mic off to whoever you choose to hand it to? Your choice. The whole audience is available to be selected, even the birthday people. Verlaine's going, not me, not me.
Luke 3, verses 7 through 18. Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, you children of snakes. Who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, Abraham is our father. I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. The crowds ask him, what then should we do? And he answered, whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, teacher, what should we do? He replied, collect no more than you are authorized to collect. Soldiers asked, what about us? What should we do? He answered, don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay. The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out. And with many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I love it when all of you are involved in this, especially you were all wide awake as Sue had the mic going, who should I give it to? So Sue and Jenny, thank you very much for reading the scripture. I really appreciate that. All right, Jay, let's do slide one. Yeah, some of us have neighbors that look like that, right? Okay. So this is from the first week of Advent, when we talked about being alert, being sober, paying attention to what's going on around you, not just in the world, but in your own personal walk with Christ. Be alert. They are definitely paying attention. Because who is it that likes to eat those little creatures? Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You know, that we're talking Africa here, so they're fair game for everything. And I particularly like the two that are holding each other down there in the center, going, is the photographer going to eat us? Or, you know, that sort of thing. All right, next slide. All right, for those of you that weren't here last time around, we talked about the purifying fire of God's word. Purifying is silver and gold. And we had one slide that showed the pouring of molten gold into a mold. And that's the refining fire. Well, so is this. Obviously, that is seriously hot. It doesn't matter what the temperature is. They are glowing. It's the kiln. It's the God's fire, whatever you want to call it. But that's the purification process. That's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. What you really think, how many of you really think that when you receive God's salvation through Christ, that that's it and you're done? Good. Because you're not. You continually go through the refiner's fire. It's hot. It's not fun. We do want the joy. We do want the goodness. But it's still hot. And it's a lot of work. And that is not something that I necessarily want to dream about at night. What I'd rather have is the bubbling brook and the trees and all that sort of thing. But this is a reality in our spiritual walk. This is real. Okay, next slide. God is among you, a warrior who is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will draw you quietness with his love and delight in you with shouts of joy. That's Zephaniah. God is our warrior. He is here for us. He stands in the gap for us, just as he has his son Jesus doing that. Next slide, please, Jay. Okay, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. He was not afraid to talk about vipers. Now, the thing about these verses is he had those that were naysayers. He had those that were going, oh, we don't do it this way. But he was drawing them in just the same. He's talking to the naysayers, the joyless cynics who come from Jerusalem to see a sideshow in the desert. You have to admit, John the Baptist, during that time, was very interesting. What did he eat? Locusts, and he ate honey. I'm sure that a shower was not something he worried about very much. He wore skins. He was truly that prophet of God in the raw. But he, what an astounding amount of work he did in the kingdom of God, preparing the people for Jesus' arrival. They have come to the Jordan River to judge him and to slander his message. John's challenge is about the poison of cynicism, satire, hatred, lack of love, the denial of God, that God is working in us and around us, even in the grimmest and darkest parts of our human existence. Let's have the next slide, Jay. That is not a Christmas wreath. That is a whole bunch of, it's a nest of vipers. Vipers are a particular type of poisonous snake that when they latch onto you, they have a tendency to hang on you. Not everything is like a rattlesnake where they just bite and release. You know, kind of like fishing, catch and release. But here they hang on to you and they continue to pump venom into you. They are small and hard to notice. And in the Middle East, and we saw them in Afghanistan when I was there, they congregate in the same places where humans like to hang out. The daily markets, under the trees, out in the bushes where there's shade. Wherever we are, as far as the Middle East is concerned, they're there too. Because they want the same comfort we do in their own way. John called the religious leaders of the time vipers because they were toxic and poisonous. They were continually injecting religious poison into the believers. Now, let me tell you a little story about cottonmouths. Who in here does not know what a cottonmouth snake is? They reside in the southeast part of the United States. They are many times black, and you don't know them until after they've bitten you.
They are very, 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 very.
Yes. Thank you for that nice segue. So, one of my troops, we're at Camp Blanding outside of Jacksonville, Florida. One of my troops reaches down. We've been out on war games, and he reaches down to grab his black bag. What he doesn't know is that a black cottonmouth snake that's about 5 feet long has coiled up around and underneath his bag seeking shade. Well, he reaches down, and he saw that snake just about the time that it leapt up from the bag and put a fang, one fang, into his finger. If he'd have put both fangs in, he'd have probably died. But one fang went in. Now, relate this to sin. When you sin, a sin is still a sin. Doesn't matter if it's a little itty-bitty one or a great big one. It doesn't matter. A sin is a sin. But, and sin is an archery, in case some of you didn't know that, which means to miss the mark. But that's another story. The poison went in. He went code 3 to the local hospital outside of Camp Blanding. In 3 hours, that venom had turned his hand black, and it's swollen up like a softball, and it went up to his arm, up to his shoulder, in 3 hours. That's what sin can do to you. So pay attention to what you're doing out there. Your thoughts, honest, your thoughts. Pay attention to what you're doing out there. This young kid has never made that mistake again. Now, it took 4 days of him being between critical care and then intermediate care for the swelling to go down. They put 70, I had no idea this stuff was so expensive. They put in 17 vials, and they're only about that big, 17 vials of anti-venom. He was at the University of Gainesville, University of Florida, there at Gainesville. He was in their medical center. Each one of these little vials that's only about that big is $700. Okay. So that's $10,400 with those 14 or 17 vials that they put into them. And that doesn't include the vials that got accidentally dropped by the nurses. Because you pull them out of refrigeration and you have to warm them up like this for half an hour. And then you put a solution into them, all that kind of stuff, and then you inject it. He has lost the use of his finger in the sense of no feeling. He has lost some of the mobility of the finger. And it's one of those things where he will never forget that. Now, I say all this to show you that in the natural, how quickly things can go south for us. How quickly things can go bad in a very bad way. They can go bad. I know that's an overuse of the word bad, but that's where I'm at. But it's things can go really horribly bad and very quickly. So that's in the natural. But in the world of sin, it can do the same damage to us. It just poisons us on the inside. Let's have the next slide. We're not quite there yet. You've heard these words, and even today you hear this stuff. You're doing it all wrong. These people cannot come in here. We cannot bless their relationship, their culture, their tradition. In response, John turns around and says to these people in this story, he invited them to repentance, turning around, moving in a new direction, and bearing fruit. Remember Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What is the fruit of the Spirit? There's nine of them. Bearing fruit that gives evidence of this change. Now, John's announcement, "You vipers, why are you here?" is really a very harsh statement. But he did it to them out of love. Believe it or not, he did it to them out of love because he wanted to wake them up to say, there's a coming of Jesus, the man of God, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. So, how do we get rid of some of these things? Raise your hand as I say these. Raise your hand, put them down, whatever is appropriate. As I say, here's how God works with us. Have you felt any pruning lately? Be brave. Yes, you're not alone. Pruning, cutting. Have you felt the Holy Spirit chastise you lately? Hello? Yes. He does all these things. And does he say anything to you in this way? I had Holy Spirit come to me the other day about something. And he says, Dave. He goes, what are you doing? I'm doing stuff around the house. No, what are you doing? And he proceeds to chastise me on some things that are incorrect thinking. And so I pay attention to that. So what is the Lord coming to you and saying, what are you doing? And we're not talking about doing dishes, laundry, or raking up leaves. What are you doing? What are those things in your life that the Lord is going, what are you doing? And how are you going to change that? We all have that. That's part of being a Christian. It's the love of the Lord covers us and says, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. So John turns to them when he gets pressed by some of these people and they're asking questions. He goes, when they want to know how to act on repentance, John says to them in a practical but loving way, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. So what did we do this morning? What did I ask Steve to do? Let's share some church wealth with Food Bank to help provide two jackets. Now, it may not be the whole cost. I mean, cover the whole cost of the two jackets. But that's being generous. Generosity is one of the things about the Christian church that many times it has not been well known for. But let's be generous. Whoever has food must do likewise. Share the food. There's three simple words that comes out of John. We're sharing. We want things to be fair. And we want to care. Now, I know many of you haven't seen this, but in the church council, your church council here, we put together a list of the different things that we are involved in that we share with the community. Things that we do have done over the years. Okay, American Red Cross. I'm a blood donor. I'm finishing up my fifth gallon of giving blood over the years. So that's a, you know, every time they poke it, I go, ow. I can see Betty going, ooh. She feels my pain. It's, now I'm sure for this is a women's thing, but I'm sure that for those of you that have had epidurals, my giving, nope, don't panic now, don't panic. I'm sure that my stick from the giving the blood is not nearly as bad as an epidural. Yes? Yeah. Amen, sister. Okay? All right. So, we do, so we're, I'm big in the American Red Cross. Have been for over 30 years, almost 40 years. We've been involved in one way or another with Peach Days. Interfaith Council that I'm a part of, that we're a part of, we've each year we try to help make sure we give out coats. We give them to Byron and Linda Hansen, and then they distribute them out. This year, though, we gave the coats that we had, we gave to Jill for her organization. And did they, all of them get handed out?
Saying.
So there's that need out there. We do the interfaith cannery assignment. We do cannery once a year. Habitat for Humanity. Rod's been big into the Habitat for Humanity over the years. I figure if the President Carter, who is now 94, 96, if he can still be doing some Habitat for Humanity, you know, we can too in one way or another. Pregnancy Care Center, we do the baby bottle fundraiser for that each year. Certainly, Meals on Wheels, like what we're doing next Monday and Tuesday. That's a big deal. Christmas Craft Bazaar, I don't think we did the Christmas Craft Bazaar this year. We did not. UMCOR, how many have been down to UMCOR to help with packing of the relief supplies over the years and that sort of thing? Thank you very much. We have the Act 6. We have the Act 6 soup kitchen. And we just have a variety of other things that we get involved in. So we're, even though we're a small church, we're still an energetic church. We believe in the doing, you know, being generous. So God bless all of you for doing that. You know, you have the right heart for that. Let's keep it up. Okay. Share generously. Give freely. We do that. Be fair in your dealings with others. And here's the one that I have to be careful with because it's still being in school and everything. It's don't steal time away from your spouse, your children, or your friends. It's easy to get stuck on this is my priority and here's my list of priority, but you still need to adjust it a little bit over here. See, and I forget to do that too. So let's do it. Stop complaining. How many are complaining? Anybody in here complaining? Oh, that's a lie. Okay. Yes. Yeah, never. Okay. So complaining. Stop your whining. I'm right there with you. Okay. Let's be gracious. Let's honor our commitments. Be content with what you have. I hit this up a couple of weeks ago about all the boys for the toys. I'm not big into all the stuff like your third and fourth trailers, you know, behind your little Hyundai as you're going down the road to go camping and everything. You know, for me, it's, I'm in the land of tools. Yeah. Nirvana, I'm here. So Raquel, she grabs him and goes, no. We're over here. We're going to go look at paint. That's more important right now. Okay. You know, so we all have a little bit of that. And really, it boils down to a couple things. We're right now in that time of redemption, not just from the Old Testament times or the time of Christ, but even now. We're into redemption, repentance, forgiveness, showing love, being generous, and giving a hug to everybody. Just show that love to everybody. We have the time to share. We have time to worship God. We have time to read the Bible and pray. You make time to come to church. God bless every one of you for being here. I love you all. And Raquel, by the way, says hi. And today is a refreshing day for her because she's survived school. So she's a happy girl at home. So we're a community of faith. Let's continue to move forward in that. Can all God's people say amen?
Amen.
Let's take just a minute to center our hearts and our minds as we get ready for communion.